want to finish on, just to reflect on what can we do to enjoy fellowship? How can we engage in fellowship? Because I can stand up here and talk about fellowship and what it can do and should do, but unless people choose to, it ain't going to happen. You're not going to experience it. So I just wanted to give a few encouragements, and just that fellowship and the spiritual relationship fellowships are both discovered and are made. They're discovered and they're made, because we will bump into people, and we may not know that they're believers, but you know, we can bump into people at church, we can bump into people from other churches, other ministries outside of our life, and we can find out a little bit about them. We can discover spiritual relations. Is that Graham Rayner? Is that right today? Okay. So we discover them along our life's journey, but they're also made because we have to make effort in order to experience them fully. We have to share. So friendships are developed when we have if you're just looking, I'm looking for a friend, you're not going to find a friend just by looking for a friend. It's about finding a mutual interest, a mutual activity, a mutual belief, a mutual understanding. And the beautiful thing in that second question, is there any other believer in Jesus you've got a mutual common interest that gives the possibility of a relationship like no other? But we need to make them. We need to be proactive. We need to be willing to open up. And if we want to experience deep fellowship, we need to be vulnerable and we need to be authentic. Just be yourself. We must overlook people's differences, people's faults, people's shortcomings, people's opinions, so that we can experience true fellowship. And what's more, to enjoy, maintain true fellowship, we need to be willing to forgive. Jesus is all about forgiveness. He's quick to forgive us so that we're quick to forgive other people, so we don't hold people at a distance, so we don't miss out on them or us experiencing fellowship, even where we've been offended. We also need the opportunity to serve. It's just Jesus's way. He lived a life of service. And he made us all to serve one another. This isn't something we kind of force you to do so that the church achieves its outcomes. It's because it's what creates community. It's what creates fellowship. It's what creates a taste of heaven. Those verses, we've used them recently. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. That's what it is with Christ's body. We're many parts of one body. And we belong to each other. And Jesus is the head of this body, the church. He makes everything fit together as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so we want to create opportunities for people to serve in some capacity. Again, it's not making you do stuff to keep God happy or get things done. It's so that you can feel more deeply connected and you can enjoy fellowship and relationships on a whole new level. And so I've got some of our response cards. If you're interested in serving, you're not currently serving, if you've asked to serve in the past and it hasn't happened, I'd love to give you the opportunity to discuss an opportunity to serve. Not because stuff needs to get done, but just so that you can experience fellowship on a whole new level. And we need to connect up. We need to spend time with each other. We need to make time and use time to enjoy this relationship. I'm just wondering if there was a couple of people who are in a connect group, have enjoyed a connect group, who'd be willing to give a 30-second encouragement to people who are yet to experience a connect group.
Morning, church. Had a few different types of connect group experiences. We used to run one at our house. We've done youth ones. But currently I go to the ladies, the mixed connect group on a Wednesday morning. And the thing that I love about it is you get to hear things, people sharing things about themselves that you don't get a chance to do over morning tea on a Sunday. And they're people you may not usually talk to on a Sunday. So you get to know them, hear a bit about their life, and pray with them about things that are important to them, whether they're health problems or whether their family desires for their children or their grandchildren, whatever. But you just get to connect in a really special way, and you learn to actually love them, the people in your connect group. And when we're unpacking a particular verse or what we've talked about on the Sunday, you often hear the most amazing things, a different perspective, is that the word I'm looking for? A different perspective on what Jesus was saying in that particular verse that you wouldn't have even thought of it like that. And it's just so rich. And you can just encourage and uplift and support one another. And I find that it refills my cup and gives me new stuff to take away, to pour out on others or to make me stronger. And it's just great. I really encourage you, if you're not in a connect group, to try to get into one or run one, because that's very rewarding too.
Anyone else busting to share?
I think I find it's a safe place for people to talk about, and they know that one of the things is whatever gets discussed there is a safe place, and people feel safe that they can often not talk to other people about it, but they're happy to talk there, and we discuss things and we read the Bible verses, but from different Bibles, and you get a different perspective of what is actually being said. So I recommend connect groups, and you get to know people you don't know, and you get to know their personality and where they're coming from and the hardships they've had as well. And we're just blessed by them.
Thanks, Marcus. But it's challenging to get it's that challenge of stepping into a connect group, because and I know the time's challenges. How do I make time? Can I get there every week? What's going to come up in the future? Who am I going to get stuck with? What grace growers is going to go and replace me with? How's it going to work? What's going to be expected of me? There's lots of things that kind of challenge people. But I just want to, I'd love anyone who's interested in exploring connect groups, I'd love you to talk with Donna and myself. It's got these response forms at the front again. We'll find a way for you to engage in connect groups. The other thing that I do also encourage and offer is midweek teaching, so that some of the discussion that happens in a connect group we send out, if people want to do it as a devotion, but ideally with another person, or again, particularly this term, we'll talk about our topic about being discipled by Jesus. But I'd love if you're interested in considering a connect group or getting the midweek teaching to engage in fellowship. Love to help you experience that. So they're available. We won't hand them out. We'll just, if you want to respond to the serving or the connect groups, I'd love to make that available for you. But the heart of fellowship, the word koinonia, means communion, common union. This is what we celebrate when we have communion. It's the act of what Jesus did, but the reason Jesus died is so that we can experience fellowship. He died so that we can all become part of God's family and experience the richness of life with each other. We celebrate communion as fellowship, and we celebrate the fellowship that comes from communion. And it's interesting that there's a really strange passage in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 talking about communion. I'll just read what's on the screen there. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Communion is a reminder that we're all together as part of the body of Christ. And then in the next chapter, Paul goes on to say, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. We're celebrating Jesus' sacrifice. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Ever thought about that verse before? And this is kind of in relation to the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there. Go and get reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Fellowship is so important because communion is a celebration of the fellowship that Jesus created and in itself is fellowship. It's so important that we do that with the heart that Jesus has. And so I just want to invite you, just for 30 seconds, just to close your eyes, if you would. We're going to have communion next week. And again, this isn't a guilt thing or a pressure thing, but and I ask this of myself, just see, God, if there's any relationships with other believers that he wants you to reconcile in the coming week. Anybody that you need to forgive or that you need to seek forgiveness from. So, Father, just pray. I'm sure you'll do it pretty quickly, just to bring to mind any relationships that you want me to forgive or to seek forgiveness, to reconcile, to reconnect, whatever it might be. I just pray that you'll bring that person to mind. I pray that you'll give me the courage to obediently respond appropriately. My last encouragement is be willing to turn up. Just turn up, like, I just love it. If you're not here, we can't make fellowship happen for you. We can't have fellowship without you. It's something that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in the meals and the Lord's Supper and to prayer. We want to pursue unity and oneness, but it requires fellowship. We need to come together. Like Natasha said this morning, especially when you don't feel like it, there is an enemy of God that won't encourage you and will give you every thought to get out of connecting with other believers all the time. It happens to me. And we just need to place ourselves in the company of other believers. So I just love Sunday gatherings. I love the way that people linger. I know we have amazing hospitality, generous and delicious provision of food, but just people linger. And just linger, even if it takes you a while to engage in conversations, just hang about, create those opportunities for connection. The social connecting events, we just create them as an opportunity just to connect. Doesn't matter if it's something that's really floats your boat, just if you've got the time and you're available, just turn up and see what God might do, even in the casual conversations. We've got a weekend church-wide event in late November. Again, extended period of time to connect with people in ways that you wouldn't normally experience. And we also invite people to do it organically, just to, if you can, touch base with people, invite people for coffee, whatever else. God loves it when he's children get together. It just blesses his heart. There's a relational glory. There's something the Holy Spirit does when we're together with other believers that doesn't happen in other relationships. It helps to grow us, to mature us, to refine us in ways we often don't understand. But it's part of the abundant life that Jesus wants you to experience. And I just want to finish off just saying, if there's anybody here who's going, I'd love to be a part of that, but I'm not sure I'm a brother or sister. Jesus died for you to experience fellowship. He's dying for you to experience fellowship. And all it takes is for you to say yes to him, to accept his sacrifice on your behalf, to cleanse you from your sins so that you can have a right relationship with God and you can enter into this process of becoming more and more of who God created you to be and more like Jesus. So if I can just pray for us to close. And then I'll invite you, if you're with the person that you're discussing with, if you can pray together, that will that would be great. Don't feel under pressure to do that. Or if one of you want to pray, that would be fantastic. And Father God, I just thank you that we have such common ground in Jesus. And it's not just something for today, it's something for eternity that we get to enjoy being around you forever. And I just thank you for the people that you've brought into this church community, into this church family, that I have the privilege, we have the privilege of growing together and maturing individually, maturing together to be all that God intended for us. So I just pray for a reminder, revelations of what this fellowship is about, this koinonia, this sanctification that you gift us. Help us to enjoy it, to savor it, and to make it happen. So just guide us in that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Come again. And if you want to finish off praying for each other, again, no pressure, that would be a beautiful thing. If anybody else needs prayer from one of our leaders, we'll be at the front. If you're interested in serving Connect Groups, Donna and I will be up the front as well. So God bless you richly. Thanks for being part of this. And look forward to you enjoying Koinonia more and more and more. Bless you.